Great. We will call to order White Salmon City Council meeting for September 16th. Jan, can you take roll call?
Jason Hartman.
Here.
David Lindley.
Here.
Ashley Post.
Here.
Jim Rensier.
Here.
Joe Turkowitz.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Great. And can you read any public comments that we've received by 5 o'clock today?
Yes, we have one public comment. This is from Sasha Bentley. My name is Sasha Bentley and I live in White Salmon. I wasn't able to attend your treat last week, but I was able to watch it. Thank you for making the recording available. I really liked hearing about your plan for inclusivity training, especially that you're planning to involve individuals and groups in our area to lead or contribute. I did want to bring up the option of inclusivity training via Zoom. I realize it's not ideal, but I also know how important the training is. So I want to encourage you to reprioritize the training and start in the world we live in today and then continue. In the discussion about capacity of staff and our budget, I'd like some more information on how we actually solve this problem. I deeply respect our city staff and realize budget constraints are something we will always have to work under. But it's important our city meet the challenges of the time, now and into the future. Please let me know what can be done, and if there is community support needed, I'd be happy to help gather that support. Quickly, I support the loop road trail and making sure our short-term rentals are in compliance. I also support your efforts to ensure attainable and affordable housing is available in our city. If you're interested in looking into land trusts, which was mentioned in last year's retreat minutes, I have a contact and would be happy to connect you. When you plan your new playground equipment, I ask that you look into creating a playground that takes into account all abilities. Happy to provide some examples, resources on this. I also support a community center. I support replacing an officer position with a specialist in mental health prevention, which was discussed. I haven't been able to talk to Chief Heppner about this topic yet and ask the City Council to continue working with Chief Heppner on this. I'm interested to hear what he thinks is best for our city. We should also work on committing more resources to prevention. I was disappointed that there wasn't much discussion about climate change and how our city can prepare and also how we can reduce our carbon footprint and dependency on resources. I definitely support Jason's request to add composting to your list of priorities for next year. Community Upcycle will continue working with you on other improvements and declarations the city can do to take seriously the climate crisis we are in, but could still do something about. With the pandemic and now the smoke, crisis preparedness is so important. I'd like you to take that into account when you're planning for next year and thinking about what you want to accomplish during your term. You have a lot of people depending on you to know when something is dangerous. To me, this is the fundamental role of government, to protect the people. Raise the bar on who you think needs guidance on safety during crises. You will have to act quickly and have good communication tools. Lastly, I support better utilizing social media and other communication tools. With that, I hope it will bring increased community involvement and support, but also another way to reach constituents. Thank you all for serving and for listening. Sasha Bentley. And that's all we have.
Marla's muted.
Sorry. You'd think that wouldn't happen this long into our Zoom world. But moving on, I know that we have one change to the agenda from staff, and then also want to see if any counselors have additions or requests for the agenda.
So there's one change. It was posted to the webpage for this meeting and sent to all the council members, and that is Resolution 2020-09-507. Ratifying Emergency Proclamation 2020-002, and I'm requesting that we add that to the agenda as number 3 under business items after 2021 policy area priority discussion.
I'll make the motion to add it to the agenda.
Great. Jason made the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
I'll take Ashley Post second. And Jan, can you take a roll call vote?
Jason Hartman.
Aye.
David Lindley.
Aye.
Ashley Post.
Aye.
Jim Rensier.
Aye.
Joe Turkowitz.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, moving into business items. Item one is the COVID-19 CARES funding agreement amendment. And what's coming before you, as mentioned in the memo, is an adjustment based on some additional funds that have been allocated to White Salmon and also an extension on the original deadline. So it's now through November 30th. Jan, I don't know if you want to add anything or if we want to open it up to any counselor questions before a motion.
I don't have anything to add beyond what was in the agenda. I just would note that Marla and I will be presenting at your October 7th meeting some amendments to the resolution that established the programs for use of these funds and addressing how the additional funds would be used. So I know there's a couple of amendments we want to make to the specifically to the business one, and then we would identify how those programs are going to get carried out between now and November 30th, and that'll be at your October 7th meeting.
Any questions or discussion, or do you want to, would the council like to make a motion and then have discussion? Okay, well, I guess I'll expand a bit on the allusion to our October 7th meeting. So basically right now, these additional funds have come in, so we're readdressing the allocations that we initially identified, especially to the Community Relief Fund and also to small businesses. Part of the small business outreach, I've been talking to a few business owners over the past week, and we're trying to make sure that the way that we structure that amount of funding and however it might increase is going to capture the largest amount of businesses possible. The county had a grant program that actually just closed about an hour ago. That information was given and distributed pretty broadly, but we realized that it didn't catch everyone, especially some nonprofits. And so that'll be one area that we're hoping to address. But what we want to bring forward at the next meeting will be some true structure that we, and the new allocation of money against those four different areas that we originally identified. But right now we're not intending to add a new area. So in case that was some of the questions in your head, maybe that gives you a little deeper understanding.
I'll make the motion to authorize the mayor to sign the amendment for the to COVID-19 CARES Act funding agreement.
Second.
And that's
Just to clarify, do we need to confirm the monetary amount?
We need money. We need money
in
on that motion.
In that motion, Jim, if you could. And actually, Jim, if you just you can either read the motion as recommended on page 3 of tonight's packet. And then we can have an official second.
So what am I doing? Oh, never mind. The part where it says motion. I just read the action required part. That's hysterical.
No problem.
It's okay.
You're still new. Get away with it.
I like the shorter sentence, I think, is what it came down to. I move to authorize the mayor to sign the amendment to the COVID-19 CARES Act funding agreement. While Washington Department of Commerce increased the amount of funding from $78,300 to $117,450 and extending the termination of the program from October 31st, 2020 to November 30th, 2020.
Second.
Thank you. And Jason Hartman made the second. Any further discussion? Okay, seeing no hands, Jan, can you take a roll call vote?
Jason Hartman?
Aye.
David Lindley?
Aye.
Ashley Post?
Aye.
Jim Rensier?
Aye.
Joe Turkowitz?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, moving on to business item number 2, the 2021 policy area priorities. So as mentioned, this is coming back before the council, basically our interpretation of the key themes that were coming out of last week's retreat and trying to organize those a little bit more concisely and also focused around some themes. But certainly this is all up for discussion. They're your priorities, but we wanted to bring this back before you quickly so that we can use this to really fine tune and shape areas in the budget where we're going to bring back to you some recommendations and proposals of how we can achieve some of these goals or at least get on that path in terms of where money's allocated. Jan, did you want to expand on any of that?
No, so I think, I went through the meeting minutes and you'll see some of this stuff categorized a little bit differently in the meeting minutes, but those came pretty much directly from your comments. And then the mayor took that information and fine-tuned it a little bit to cover maybe some a little bit broader area and to consolidate some of the issues into different bullet points. So again, we're working on the budget fast and furiously, so the timing of this adoption is critical so that myself and the city administrator and the mayor can put together the base budget and budget options related to this. We'll be working on that. We have a finance and personnel committee that will meet on September 28th. They will also see what is coming from the mayor. Typically stuff comes to the mayor, requests that we make refinements, then that goes to the budget committee, and then it starts, they usually will make recommendations related to the budget to the city council, but the city council will see everything. And then there will be a series of budget presentations and budget hearings. I think most of you have seen a tentative budget schedule. If not, I'll get that out. We tentatively have the adoption of the budget as of December 2nd, but starting in October, there will be, presentations. There won't necessarily be a public hearing in October, but there will be presentations about some of the information in October, and then we'll be refining that budget, and then there's the required levy hearing and other hearings that we have to notice and hold public hearings on. And we'll be, just as a FYI, we'll be developing a process whereby people can actually testify if we're still in Zoom. Well, we'll be, even if we're in a hybrid meeting, we'll be on doing some Zoom stuff. We'll have people who wanna testify verbally at the meeting versus written comments. We'll have a registration process so that we know who is requesting to testify verbally, and we'll allow them to do that at those meetings.
I'll make the motion to Council's 2021 policy area priorities, providing guidance to the mayor and staff in developing the 2021 budget, including possible budget options and providing proposals for implementation within the priority policy areas.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
I saw David Lindley's hand, but I heard Ashley audibly, so I'll say that Ashley seconded, but thank you, David. Any more discussion? Yes, Jim.
Yes. And this probably was just an assumption on my part, or maybe just a confirmation. So from the retreat, I think staff had put together their 2021 work priorities that had already been identified in relation to, and then obviously this is the 2020 priority policy focus areas. Is there a convergence of those two documents that should happen, or are those truly, I guess in my head, I thought this is just an assumption, but many of the things that are on that 2021 list would carry over automatically in addition to the things that we brought up here, but the lists don't necessarily match up. So just confirming.
Yeah, that's correct. So right now, what's before you for review is just to make sure that we're capturing correctly everything that the council is wanting as additional or new priorities. And then the budget narrative, especially, but also the full budget that comes back to you guys will give you that full comprehensive picture of those projects we outlined in the retreat that are still underway or we know have already been moved to 2021 in addition to any of your new 2021 preferred priorities. So that's where you'll see the blend will be that full budget narrative and the presentation for 2021.
So great. Jim, the items that were on that list are pretty much not options. Those are almost all of them are carryover or mandated items. But we also, we do that just to kind of sometimes highlight the volume of projects the city is already committed to. So that when, and we would have done that at a normal retreat, we hope it gives the council a picture of what we've already taken on. And that, you know, given our human resource side of things, and even sometimes the funding side of things, we may have limited capacity to take on new projects in a given year.
Great. Yeah, my main concern is not losing sight of what was already on the list, but that's great to hear.
Yeah.
Thank you. I won't let you lose sight of this. Financially, anyways.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, we will move to a vote. Jan, can you take a roll call vote?
Jason Hartman.
Aye.
David Lindley.
Aye.
Ashley Post.
Aye.
Jim Rensier.
Aye.
Joe Turkowitz.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, moving on to the added business item number 3, the adoption or ratification of Resolution 2020-09507, a proclamation of emergency for ongoing wildfire risks and unprecedented hazardous air conditions. So obviously I issued this on Monday morning. And that was the result of not, at that point, we were anticipating over the weekend that the weather would change and that we would see significant improvements in the weather going into the week. And that clearly did not happen. And we were staying pretty consistently in the hazardous range and feeling like it was appropriate for the city to send a more strong statement out to our residents, not only about the hazards of being outside this time for optional or recreational activities, but also for me and the city, the concern that some activities that could be going on during the work week, especially construction or projects or just yard maintenance, would add to or increase a potential wildfire risk. And I'm sure we've all been watching the news, but certainly the entire western region of the United States right now is on fire, and we're obviously experiencing that in our air quality. So the core focus of this emergency proclamation in the immediate term was to get that message out there more effectively and strongly to the community. But the secondary focus of the reason for proclaiming the proclamation was to acknowledge that this is a public health emergency and also to set us up in the right position should this become even further prolonged if we do need to make some decisions to better protect or get out in front of helping to protect the community. And some of that could be, if this were to be extended, being able to make decisions about creating a clean air shelter. And also just to have this already in place should the situation change. So I don't know if anyone has any questions. Happy to answer them because obviously this is coming before you as me making the determination that it was necessary. But now as the council and at your meeting most recently after the proclamation, it's really up to you to either modify that or actually adopt it. Yes, Jason.
So based on what I read in the paper, it has a whole host of things you can and cannot, or a group of things you cannot do. And I would probably take issue with some of that, except that I'm not seeing it in the resolution.
It's in the proclamation that was attached.
I see.
And so you're ratifying the proclamation, so it has all of those items.
Got it. Okay.
It's under the next therefore. If you go to the Pardon? Now, therefore, I'll, do you want me to read
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I see it. Yeah, I see it. I did hear a little pushback on some people whose livelihoods could potentially be affected in the with the construction equipment that creates sparks. I guess first mm-hmm. of all, is that defined, or is that meant to actually stop construction?
So the way that we presented this and the way that it was worded is these are strong recommendations coming from the city. Yes, it is our desire that there's a good faith effort to refrain from some of these activities that we're saying accelerate or heighten the risks that we're under. And then some of it on the separate side of just recreational activity is an awareness of we don't think it's really safe for you to be using our city parks or, you know, going out on trails at this time. So far, I will say that the proclamation has, I don't know if allowed is the correct word, but some projects have made the determination that they should be stopping at this time. And some of that was the result of awareness of the proclamation. Others were on their own. Crestline had already made the decision for the health and safety of their own workers that they would not be doing any work until that air quality index reached below 150. And so the hope, of course, is that a lot of employers or businesses that are in those industries where their workers are outside would be making that decision for the health of their workers. But we did want to reinforce that there's another consideration to take into account, which is the health and safety of an entire community when we feel like there's an increased vulnerability to the wildfire risks because of our excessively dry conditions along with the air hazard.
So, Marla?
Yes, Ashley. Okay. Yeah.
Just as a quick question to you, because I think it might help clarify this. The intent of the emergency proclamation and the language in the resolution is not to keep this going through October 1st, or maybe Correct. I'm wrong, if the air quality improves. The intent is once the air quality improves, the emergency will be lifted.
Okay. That is correct. And what we have communicated directly to people who have called and asked about their specific projects is exactly that. What we're looking for is to see some relief in the current air quality. And it already has improved, though it's still not in an ideal condition yet. But right now, the expectation is at the end of the week, weather patterns are going to converge in a way that we could start seeing some relief. So the way that it was written was to really prioritize that this is lifted once conditions are better, but giving a date that's somewhat in the future, because originally our thought on Friday as we were monitoring this situation was that we would be seeing improvement on Sunday. And Monday morning, it was very clear from the Department of Ecology that their assessment was that our air was going to be staying hazardous for an extended period and that we wouldn't be seeing any significant relief until Thursday or Friday, and that their determination at that time was based on the known knowledge, and of course it's weather, so that can always be changing. And also, again, none of this was written in a way to give the impression that we are sending our police out to, you know, take someone to jail or to issue some sort of a fine should they make the decision that they don't want to follow these recommendations. In that sense, it's much like the COVID-19 guidelines. We're really trying to educate and inform and hope people make the best decision based not only on their own public health and safety, but the health and safety of their neighbors and the community. Yes, Ashley.
I think it would be really helpful I guess it would have to be the resolution if it included language about what it would look like for the risk to be abated. So what is the criteria for lifting the ban? Is it a certain number on the air quality index, or is it being able to see blue sky, or, you know, the first rainfall? Yeah. Like what, it would be helpful to know specifically what we're looking for.
Okay. That's good feedback. I mean, again, you know, what we have mentioned and what we know some other businesses are practicing is a number that's recognized as safer, which could be 150 if the council wanted to consider that. Joe, I see your hand raised.
In the access to the city parks, I would just like to see that either be like a criteria or certain activities limited from the city parks, because, you know, like people going there with their dogs, you know, dogs got to get outside, you know, regardless of the smoke. I can understand And the bike park being closed due to its proximity to in the forest. But I think all out closing the parks, we could do a little better as far as maybe just asking that certain activities, like I can understand like charcoal barbecues, whatnot, maybe even gas, but allowing some kind of access because, you know, that is one place people do have to go when the other broader access is limited in the wilderness.
Jim or David, I don't think you've had a comment yet. Do either of you want to comment? Otherwise, Ashley, if you want, we'll give David and Jim a chance.
No, I think these are good discussion points and along the lines of where I was thinking. Hearing you explain it more, it sounded more like these are strong recommendations. And so maybe ordered, maybe changing that phrasing might help. Ordered has a certain connotation. Particularly with the other backdrops coming down from on high. So I think maybe strongly recommended or some other verbiage might go over better.
Jim, any thoughts?
I'd say my own, going back to the index of 150, the only hesitation I would have with putting an index is that is it one day under 150, 2 days under 150? not to like predict what, I hope that it gets better and stays that way, but so I can kind of see why you landed on a date versus a number just from of clarity of like, what's it gonna change?
Yeah, so just as a quick comment, this morning, the DOE's air quality for white salmon, our monitoring station, read at 307. It's currently at 370. Now, all the weather stations, like in Portland, predicted that we were going to see an increase in hazardous air quality today. The hope is that starting tomorrow, the air quality, at least in the Portland area, will start getting better. As you know, we have an inversion factor here in the gorge, and it could be the reality is it could be into next week before we get close to something like 150. Unless we get a really good wind, which the firefighters don't want.
Ashley, I know your hand was raised. Do you still have a comment?
Yes, I do. I agree with Joe with what he was saying about still allowing people use of the park. And I also agree with David's point about the use of the word order if it's a recommendation. I really like the intent of it, but I think that should be matched by the language. I think I agree that people should not be spending much time outside right now. It's a bad idea. I just think that we need to have a balance, need to hold a balance between recommendations and mandates, or at least what looks like a mandate. And at some level, just need to trust people to, I think it's important for us to provide the best information and to give recommendations, but at some level we should be able to trust people to make their own decisions. Yeah, I'm very much in support of the proclamation and resolution. I just think it'd be nice to lighten some of the therefores.
So what we could do is we could create a separate section 2 and then renumber section 2 to section 3. And we could take those, I'm trying to find it. I think there's 1, 2, 3 items, but specifically, I think the third item could be left because it says it's recommended. But we could say in item 1, you could have, it is recommended that all outdoor activities that could spark or flame, but not limited to backyard fires, barbecues, candles, and gas, or electric yard construction equipment that creates sparks it's recommended they not be used or something like that. You guys can however you want to modify that. And then the same thing on the second one, which is, it says it's ordered, we could say it is recommended that citizens refrain from visiting city parks, natural areas, and or trails during the time of extreme fire danger and hazardous air quality.
I know that a few counselors have raised their hands, so I want to make sure they all have their comment. But the other word I would throw out for consideration instead of order would be it is advised on those first two. Jim, I think your hand was raised first. So then Jim, and then Jason, and then Joe.
Yeah, I was say that I think maybe one of the things that I'm struggling with too is there is a little bit of a mix of issues here, right? Obviously, we're talking about air quality. That's primary number one. Then there's also fire danger, which is number two. And it's all, I mean, I can see why you put them in one instead of doing two separate ones. You don't want to create two emergency proclamations, but I do understand the sensitivity around fire danger right now. And considering that, I don't know what the exact count is, but at least four or five towns have almost essentially been wiped off the map. I can understand the concern for fire danger right now. So, I definitely don't want to water down the risk on the fire side of things either. So I do like the word advise more than recommended. I don't know why it just feels a little bit stronger than recommended, but at the end of the day, I think the goal here was to raise awareness, which I think it did. So, from that perspective, I think the intent of what this is working. People are very aware of it.
Jason, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I'm in support of what's been said before. And I think if we did switch the wording to advise, then we could remove the necessity to put an AQI, especially since there, anywhere you look, you'll get a different number for AQI. There's countless different people measuring it. And since it says, so we, if it's an advisory, and then it would expire October 1st or when the risk is abated, to me, that covers all the bases without need for excessive wording or stipulations or, you know.
That's a good point.
That's it.
Joe, did you still have a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to, since we have a expert on the panel, I would like to hear from Chief Hunsaker as far as, like, if he feels that this is, if we're heading down the right path on this as far as the fire risk.
I think it's a good start on the fire risk. You're talking about the AQI. The Department of Ecology has a air monitor in White Salmon. It's up by the reservoir up here, so it's very accurate. I would use that, you know, as your AQI because it is here and it is maintained by Washington State Department of Ecology. To go beyond, you know, I was just thinking about this too, and putting in, because of fire, I think Gaddis Park and the bike park probably should be closed at this point, in my opinion. So, besides just for fire, not even so much for the air quality.
And I think just to expand a little bit on a couple points, certainly the minute this proclamation came out, there were many questions that came in regarding the determination that we indeed had hazardous air and how that was being measured and what we were referencing. And our only reference point has been that station that the Department of Ecology is validating and monitoring. And you will see a broad range of air quality index, and your Apple Weather app or some of these other apps are not purple air. They're not necessarily pulling from that known monitoring station. And so when they're pulling from one that's, say, in Portland or somewhere else, it's creating a lot of fluctuations. But what is known and the facts that we are going off of from the Department of Ecology is that definitively White Salmon's monitoring station in our Columbia River Gorge region has had the worst, the most hazardous air quality during this event. That's fact. The other aspect that Bill was talking about in terms of the wildfire risk, I mean, this is a new territory, but maybe not that new. We've just been fortunate enough to not see all of these events compound at the same time. But the reality is we are in a very vulnerable area. There are not a lot of evacuation routes out of White Salmon. our support systems for first responders are very limited. I think by living in this type of an area and with the ongoing changes to our climate, this is part of the environment of a recognition as citizens and community members, some of the responsibilities that we take on to help defend our community proactively. And so if you do want to consider the recommendation to close those parks, I think some of this is there a decision that you would regret later if we were to find ourselves in the place that some of these communities have found where they've burned to the ground, if we could have been more cautious on the front end? Are there any other questions or comments? Or do we want to start, I think, capturing some of the recommended revisions? It sounds like you guys might want to move forward into a motion.
So from what I was hearing, it sounded like we would take those three paragraphs and where it says ordered, and maybe even where it says recommended, we would change those words to it is advised. And then
taking Bill's recommendation to close the parks, if other counselors are on board with that, I think that's a valid recommendation. Those parks are right up against a lot of fuel.
And that would be Gaddis Park and the bike park.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my recommendation, because they are fuel timbered lands.
Does closure of the parks need to be done by proclamation, or is that something the city can just do on its own?
I think this is a good time to include it in the resolution, so there's an official action by the city council, and then it's not questioned by the citizens.
Okay.
I think it could be done administratively by Marla and or myself when it comes down to ordinances. But.
Right.
But you
I think just for clarity and communication, I would, we've already sent this type of a message out there, our recommendations about refraining from activities and not using the parks. And so if we were going to formally close, I think in the context of this topic, it would be appropriate to just add it into the resolution so that it's comprehensive and sweeping and, you know, the actions we're implementing. If it was coming at a different time and it was a one-off event of closing Gaddis, yes, I'm not sure that would always necessarily come to the council if we were making that decision based on the fire chief. David, I think you had your hand raised.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, you know, I'm supportive of closing those two parks and maybe phrasing it, you know, two forested parks or however you want to say it. I mean, I think that's consistent with what all the private timber companies have done. I think the Mount Hood National Forest is closed, Columbia Land Trust land is closed. So it's pretty consistent with what's going on in the broader gorge.
And I think to Ashley's point about, you know, this is combining two issues that right now are heightened, wildfire risk and air quality. That wildfire risk timeline, I know that there's discussions at the county level and with the fire districts about, you know, what that end date for the burn ban is. I don't know if you want to reconsider the date that is listed here and separate out those qualifiers. So there's a qualifier about when the wildfire risk is determined to be abated, could be a later date. And then separately, if you do want to include language about a specific AQI as measured by the Department of Ecology station in White Salmon, if you wanted to get that specific or leave it where it is right now, which is somewhat vague.
As far as the specific AQI, I think that Jason had a really good point about if we're using the word advise instead of order, then just having the end date of October 1st might be sufficient.
The okay. Bike park and park closures, I don't know that should end on October 1st specifically, though, because I think it should close probably upon measurable rain.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And Chief Hunsaker, what kind of measurements are you looking for in that case?
For fire, you know, it just would be a measurable rain. I don't know if a specific tenth of an inch would get rid of most fire hazard, but for the parks. but that's not going to open up burning. That answer your question?
Could we close the parks until the burn ban is lifted? Is the burn, the county burn ban or something like that a reasonable
measure? The fire districts are asking the county commissioners to extend the burn ban for this area until October 15th. At this point, that will be on their agenda Tuesday. We do not fall within their burn ban because we are a city and we do burn permits. So our burn ban is totally up to this council and the mayor and myself. So I do follow the recommendation of the rest of the commissioner, the fire districts, but it's not mandatory that we do that because we don't answer to the county commissioners for that stuff.
That makes sense. I was trying to think of a good verbiage I guess another option would be we could, again, since we are going to advise rather than ordered, we could have the proclamation or the resolution last until October 15th or something like that, since it's not quite so strict or compulsory.
But we did want to actually close, well, it's been suggested that we actually close Gaddis Park.
That would be an order.
And the bike park, and there we need to be fairly specific.
Well, I think that would be a fourth actual action under the therefore. So if we change the first two to advise, add one that says it is ordered that Gaddis Park and Spook Bike Park are closed immediately to the public, effective today's date until October 15th, or it's determined by the fire chief that the risk is abated.
Yeah, I like that.
And then the general proclamation, I guess we could, you know, I don't know if we need to say notwithstanding park closures, other guidance from this emergency proclamation shall expire October 1st or 15th, or when the risk is abated, could be alternate language.
And in that way, if we get lucky and get a great deal of rain prior to that date, we could take another look at it at our first meeting in October.
Well, the language is Marla stated. It says it's ordered closed effective immediately until October 15th, or until the fire chief determines the risk has been abated.
Right.
So if he determines prior to October 15th that the risk has been abated, then Gaddis Park and the bike park could open.
And if it doesn't, it goes beyond October 15th, then that could stay on then still too, the way I would hear that.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Yeah, we could remove the whichever occurs first. Yes, Pat.
This is gonna close down the construction project by Scott.
It's already, he hasn't even started.
I know, but he plans on starting later this year. I think we should at least inform him that we're going to shut it down.
Well, yeah, we would tell him. Of course we would tell him.
Yeah. What would it shut down?
It would shut down the construction work on the bike park.
Oh.
He hasn't even started on it.
It probably should, unfortunately.
Yes.
Yeah.
Safety-wise, I think it's true that it should. Maybe when timber falling starts again, you know, they're in shutdown on that. So we could probably use that as a guideline, but right now the forests are closed.
Yeah.
And so
Councillor comment? Go ahead, Ashley.
What measures would be taken to actually close Gaddis Park? What does that look like?
Posted. Okay. We would put signs up in key locations.
The trailheads.
And then advertise it. It's probably not going to stop everyone from going in there, but at least it's posted. And then if someone does go in there and they inadvertently start a fire, then they could be charged
right.
And have to pay for the fire
It could anyway, us. But yeah, it does help.
Okay, I can. I'm ready to make a motion, unless if that's all right.
Sure, Jason. Do you want to? I think at this point, it's adopting or approving the motion as amended. Do we need to detail all the amendments, Ken, or can we reference them as already outlined?
Well, maybe just have the clerk reiterate those changes, and then Jason can make the motion as amended, as reflected by the clerk's changes.
Okay, so we will be adding a section 2 and then changing section 2 to be section 3. And it will say it is recommended that all outdoor activities that could spark or flame but not limited to backyard fires, barbecues, candles, and a gas or electric yard construction equipment that creates sparks is immediately suspended. It is advised that all citizens, it is advised that all citizens refrain from visiting city parks, natural areas, and or trails during this time of extreme fire danger and hazardous air quality. It is advised that all citizens refrain from non-essential outdoor activities. Gaddis Park and Bike Spoke Park are immediately closed, I think we can just say immediately closed and then just leave it there. And then this emergency proclamation shall expire on October 1st or when the fire chief determines risk has abated. Or do we want to have something that's specific to Gaddis Park on that one? And then you just leave this other one.
I thought that we would have a specific call out for Gaddis and Spoke Bike Park as that October 15th date, or when the fire chief determines the risk is abated. And then that general date, I think we can say, notwithstanding park closures, this emergency proclamation and the recommendations therein shall expire October 1st or 15th, whichever the council wants to land on, or when the risk is abated. And either remove or keep whichever occurs first.
Why don't we just leave it at October 1st, but with the caveat that, for brevity, leave it at October 1st or when the fire chief deems it's safe to reopen.
Is that for the broader proclamation, Jason, and not Gaddis Park and Bike Park?
I was thinking for all of it. Because it's essentially the same. I mean, and that wouldn't that give Chief Hunsicker the ability to say, okay, you know, you can go back to, or we can withdraw the part that stops you from running your charcoal barbecue, but we want to keep Gaddis Park closed.
Right.
Right. And that way we don't have to have the notwithstandings and the, you know.
So your recommend, Jason, would be that this emergency proclamation shall expire October 1st or when the fire chief determines the risk has abated, whichever occurs first and shall be confirmed.
Not whichever.
Yeah.
Because that.
Oh, yeah.
Because that means
it could be later. Yeah.
Okay.
Why are we saying October 1st? If it's really up to the fire marshal to deem this, unnecessary.
Oh, that's a good point.
Excellent
just
point.
Say when the fire marshal determines risk is abated.
The provisions of this resolution shall become effective upon adoption and expired 11:59 p.m. on September 30th, 2020, or until the fire chief determines the risk has abated, period. And then we get rid of the unless further extended or shortened by the determination of the mayor on air quality conditions.
Yeah, I think that's clean and straightforward. Does anybody see issue with that? Or, I mean, it puts a lot of responsibility on Chief Hunsicker.
But then, what I hear there's a two-step on allowing the air quality kind of falls on my head beyond the fire risk. Is that what I'm hearing?
Although there's every reason to think you will be consulting with the mayor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And also, you know, whoever makes the determination about what's good air quality and bad.
Right.
I mean, I think it would be reasonable to delegate it to you with the idea that, you know, as far as air quality is concerned, you're unlikely to move forward on that unless you've consulted with the mayor.
Right.
So I think the clerk has the understanding of Jason's motion, which is to add the three items using the word advised, closing Gaddis Park and Bike Spoke Park immediately, and then changing the effectiveness to read, the provisions of this resolution shall become effective upon adoption and expire at 11:59 p.m. on September 30th, 2020, or until the fire chief determines risk has abated.
That works for me.
Okay.
Is there a second?
A second.
David Lindley made the second. Any further discussion? Okay, seeing no hands. Jan, can you take a roll call vote?
Jason Hartman?
Aye.
David Lindley?
Aye.
Ashley Post?
Aye.
Jim Rensier?
Aye.
Joe Turkowitz?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. And Jan, I apologize. I don't know that I caught the voucher amount before dialing in. Can you just read the voucher amount for?
The voucher amount is $390,648.17.
Okay, so consent agenda includes approval of meeting minutes from September 2nd, 2020, approval of meeting minutes from September 9th, 2020, and approval of vouchers in the amount of $390,648.17. Are there any requests from councilors to remove any of those items from the consent agenda or any edits to the meeting minutes as written? Okay, it does not look like it. Can we have a motion for the consent agenda?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Ashley made the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
I'll second.
Go ahead, David.
Okay, David Lonely made the second. Any discussion? Okay, Jan, can you take a roll call vote?
Jason Hartman.
Aye.
David Lindley?
Aye.
Ashley Post?
Aye.
Jim Rensier?
Aye.
Joe Turkowitz?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, moving on to department head and council member reports. Good, Chief Hepner, we still have you. Would you like to go first?
I really don't have a lot tonight, other than I've been listening to you talk about your proclamation. Just so you know, people we spoke to, once we gave them the proclamation, handed it out to them, and educated them on it, they were completely fine. We didn't run into anything major at all. A couple people were frustrated that it didn't happen fast enough for them, but it's not the people we talked to, it was the people calling it in. So, and I know that they, as soon as they hung up with us, they called the Chief Hunsaker and we had that happen. But no, I haven't had any issues with people following that. Other than that, if you have questions for me.
Any questions for the chief from the counselors? Okay. Seeing none, Chief Hunsaker, any updates?
I covered what I was going to talk about with the burn ban. I think everybody understands that. If you have any questions, I'm good. Building department, things are a little quiet. People are not tending to work right now. Tumalum is closed, so you can't buy lumber. Was one thing. If you guys have any questions for me, I'm available for whatever questions.
Any questions? Fire's been a hot topic tonight.
And we have lots of fires around us. Thankfully, there's none in Clickavac County at this point. I'm kind of sitting on pins and needles every day.
Yeah. Russ, any updates for the group?
Yeah, I think Crestline, depending on air quality, is going to start back up Friday doing a hot tap up by the hospital. And then next week, they're hoping to start laying the pipeline going to the hospital. So,
great.
About it.
Jim, do you have a question?
Yeah, just one question. This is me just out of curiosity. What's the construction that's happening in the middle of Ryan Garden Park right now with digging up? Looks like they're doing electrical work or something.
They're putting fiber optic in for in situ for their building.
Okay, great.
Pat, do you have updates for the council?
Just comment, well, a couple, but Jim, I think they're supposed to be boring. I think what they're doing is a borehole. Or are they digging now?
I think they're digging.
I think there's some digging.
yeah. Oh, all right. I'll have to have a talk with those guys. Anyway, I did want to add on to what Russ was saying. So up there around the hospital, we did have it in the scope of work, but we kind of left it in the background to bring the line all the way back down around the hospital and tie back into the main line so there was two sources of water. We did it that way just in case we ate up all of our money with some unknowns, because there was several unknown concerns going into this project. We will be going ahead and doing that. We have plenty of money left to do it at this stage in the project, so we are going to go ahead and make those improvements. So that'll be really good for the hospital. They will have two sources of water there, so if one line goes down, we can still feed them with another line.
And Pat, that'll come to the city council as a change order, correct?
Yeah. Yes. Well, doesn't really need to be a change order because it's in the scope of work.
Yeah, we'll want to check, but it may have to.
Another thing I did talk to Bill Hunsaker about, this is concerning fire. Last week, there was a topic, particularly on the bluff. In talking to Bill, we both kind of think it wouldn't be a bad idea to look at, but we could put what's called dry barrel sprinkler guns down there. It would definitely cost some money, but they shoot a lot of water and really rapidly and quickly, that in a fire situation, we could electronically turn those on and start watering that hillside in a fire situation, which would really, you know, that's the most dangerous fire area probably in White Salmon's, that bluff, would you say, Bill? But just something to think about. We'll bring something to you if you guys would like us to. So, what was that, Bill? Sorry.
No, that is one of our most hazardous places, is that Rocks Creek Bluff down there, that with many very high value homes and access to the town.
Yeah. With that, the feasibility study is the correct word, but moving forward on the White Salmon River, looking at the potential of being able to build and a slow sand filter down there, and if it will function correctly, it so far is going fairly positive. We're still moving forward on the mainline surveying and design work. That's moving along. That's still going to take quite a bit of time. Other than that, we do have some land use activities going on. There is a developer, it's in the urban growth area, but looking at doing a subdivision out there. I haven't heard the number of lots, but they use the term subdivision, not short plat, so I'm sure it's going to be more in four. Does anybody have any questions?
Okay, Jan, you have updates for the council?
So again, the main things that I sort of have three big projects I'm working on, the budget. We are in an audit for years 2018 and 2019. Thanks to David and Jason, your Personnel and Finance Committee people, they're the council members that have been targeted to meet and fulfill the requirements that our auditors have in talking to council members. The other item besides those three items, you might remember when a couple of years ago we adopted changes to our business licensing program. And at that time we mentioned that under a state mandate, we would be moving how people obtain those business licenses to the Department of Revenue. We are in the onboarding process with them now. You will likely see some minor amendments being brought forth in our second meeting in October. Just to our business licensing code, just to bring it into line with Department of Revenue requirements. And then just as a reminder, we will have a Community Development Committee meeting on Monday, the 21st at 5:30 p.m. I'll be putting together the agenda and documents for that discussion, those discussion items. We'll have a Personnel and Finance Committee meeting on September 28th. The Planning Commission will be meeting on September 23rd. They won't be proceeding too much into the comp plan. We're working with our consultants on some financial issues, and we'll probably be bringing something about that to you for review and approval. So that work for legal reasons is on hold. But we hope to get that resolved fairly quickly and get them back to work. But there's a number of things that the Planning Commission can be working on. The City Ops Committee, there are some codes that need to go to the Planning Commission versus directly to the City Council. And so they'll be starting to look at those. So there's some items they're going to be doing. The October 7th agenda is going to be full. So be happy that you had two light agendas in September, but I think we'll have potentially two critical area variance requests related to heritage trees at that council meeting. Hopefully a very broad early presentation of kind of budget revenue, some stuff that's in the budget. I'm sure I'm missing some other things that I know are coming to that. We'll have a change order related to Crestline, not the one that you guys provided some direction to city staff previously in addressing an issue with Crestline, and that will be coming forward for you to accept, and that will be at the October 7th meeting. And I'm sure I'm missing a number of other items that will be on that agenda.
It's going to be a big one.
Agenda.
Jim, do you have a question?
I think if I observed it properly, did you use a new alert system with the proclamation? I think that was, there was a phone call and a text and all that. That seemed to be new.
So what I'm looking at doing, we used the county's emergency system. So we contacted the county and asked, or Marla did, and asked that this proclamation and these requests be put out over their emergency alert system. So it did go through the county system, but we're also looking at implementing, using what the school system uses, which is a much broader platform. There's actually an app on your phone, and you can actually send out just general news items through that system. And when people register that through that system, they can opt on how they get that information. whether it's just by email or an app notification, or, you know, sometimes they don't want any of those. They just want to be able to go into the app and they'll see a list of notifications that they subscribe to. There's a number of entities in Southwest Washington that already use that app. And again, it's the same app that's used by the school district. So, you know, a lot of our parents in the school district have already signed up for it. They already know how that works. So we're investigating on how to get signed up on that. Their webpage lacks a lot to be desired. It gives some information. But
I think the bottom line is, if you did not receive that text message Monday evening, then that's a good test that you are not officially signed up for the county notifications. Because some people that signed up pre-2018 and think that they're still active actually aren't. So if you didn't get anything on your phone, it's a good moment to go and sign up again, I guess, to be on their new system.
Great.
Any other questions for Jan? Okay, counselor updates. David, you're right next to me in this virtual Zoom Brady Bunch layout, so I'll start with you.
Yeah, just a real quick update on a topic I brought up before. I've continued to receive donations of reusable masks from the Tom Benn Company out of Seattle throughout the month of August and as late as this week. So I've received 22,000 to date and have distributed 16,000 via various nonprofits in Hood River, Wasco, and Clickitat counties, and another 4K in Yakima County. And I still have about 6,000 left in the garage, but continuing to do outreach. I just wanted to mention it because I think it's a pretty phenomenal philanthropic endeavor by Tom Benn. They've donated something like 120,000 across the state of Washington. So if they look
kind of
like this, I see them around the community, it makes me smile.
That's great to hear, yeah. Jason, any updates?
I was contacted, or I had a meeting today with the auditor who will be auditing the 18-19 budget. It was very informative, very interesting, and she provided me with some pretty good resources. So I kind of felt like I was being audited. I've been through a lot of audits for work-related stuff, so it was pretty interesting. The way that they ask open-ended questions and try to get you to share more information than you might otherwise, but it was very, very audit-like.
It is an audit.
It wasn't an audit for me, just it was a pre-audit, right? Or call it to get you to loosen up. And other than that, no, nothing else.
Jim, any updates?
No updates for me. Eager to get started with the Community Development Committee next week. So,
oh, sorry, I'm on mute again. Ashley, any updates?
The tree board meeting, or the tree board met on Monday evening. And we discussed some changes and updates to the city tree ordinance. And Karen Jenkins, who is our arborist on our committee or on our board, will be compiling a tree list that's recommended for street trees and trees in city parks. And that will be added to the city tree ordinance. She was also proposing making some changes to the penalty section, and David Lindley recommended that they should be in line with penalties in regards to trees and some of our other codes. And so I believe Jan will be looking at that. And then the city tree ordinance update will come before city council. And we're also looking at making changes to the heritage tree section in the critical areas ordinance. Rewording a lot of how it's written. It's currently a pretty confusing code. And also looking for exemptions, what kind of exemptions we should have written into the code to avoid subjectivity when we have variances come before us to the City Council, like we'll have on October 7th. So, David, was there anything else you wanted to point out from that meeting?
Yeah, thanks for jogging my memory. I was just going to mention the tree board is also still looking for two community members to round it out. So any help with outreach with that would be appreciated.
Joe, any updates?
Nothing from me.
A couple updates on my end. You might have already heard this, so it hasn't been formally announced. I think that will come down through one of our representatives' offices, but we did receive notification last week that we have been approved for a federal build grant that's better utilizing investments to leverage development for the bridge project. So that will bring $5 million from federal funds to advance design and engineering work that has to be completed. That's kind of what I've said in past meetings, that we're at that point of needing to have additional funds to actually move some of that development work forward so that we have a working plan to see and realize what this bridge project will really cost and timeframe. So that was a joint partnership between Clickitat County and Port of Hood River, but it's pretty exciting news because, and the cities were signed on as supporters, but the expectations for getting funding through that program were pretty low. So it's exciting that that actually came to fruition. I know Jim mentioned the Community Development Committee meeting. I feel like your agenda is filling up a little bit, but on that theme, yesterday did start Hispanic Heritage Month, so the first month that we are now starting to recognize throughout the year. We are expecting to have a presentation at your next council meeting. We know that council meeting is going pretty long, but we do want to make sure that we are accounting for time to actually have some recognition of the month and are planning a couple other activities, but I'm sending some suggestions on to the Community Development Committee and hoping that we can start to build a framework for some of the activities that we'll do to recognize all those months going forward. Jan mentioned it, but obviously a lot of work right now is going into that budget. And it's a combination of making sure that we're identifying and accounting for the priorities you want. I'm separately going to have some suggestions that you'll see in there that kind of further some of those priorities and add in a few others. But all of that will be part of this narrative that comes back to you. And a lot of time and energy, as Jan mentioned, has been spent just on that CARES funding, connecting with a lot of our businesses and making sure that we're catching anyone who hasn't especially been able to benefit from some of the programs at the county or federal level to this point. Those are the updates in the top of my mind. I think I mentioned it earlier, just the bigger context of the proclamation and where we're getting information from, but obviously still have been in contact with the Department of Ecology and expect we probably will if this continues. But didn't know if you guys had any questions on any of those items. Okay, it does not look like it. I'm pretty sure we don't have an executive session, but Ken, and I missed you for updates. So I guess we'll two birds, one stone. First, you can give any updates, and then if you could just confirm if we do or do not need an executive session tonight.
No and no. How's that for a brevity?
Very succinct. I like it. Okay, and seeing no other hands for additional comments or questions, we will call the meeting adjourned at 7:13 p.m. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you,
everybody.
Guys.
Good night.
I see y'all.
Bye.